BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. You know, homeschooling is seeing tremendous success all across the country as parents serve as the primary educators of their children. And friends, many of you are familiar with the winnings of the National Spelling Bee or math competitions. And oftentimes, after you talk with a child, you can guess right away, you must be homeschooled because of the way that they interact with adults. And friends, homeschooling has been growing. As a matter of fact, there's been a massive exodus from public education, not only since the COVID pandemic, but as more and more indoctrination has been implanted in diversity, equity, and inclusion into the minds and hearts of young people, including the full acceptance of the LGBTQ plus agenda and their goals. More school districts are keeping parents from being in the know, even passing policies not to be truthful about how their children are identifying in the schools or what restrooms they use. Parents are often being kept from the curriculum being taught and even what programs their children might be attending. And yet it is homeschooling that is coming under attack today. Under attack is a recent publication recently called for parents to undergo background checks. Well, joining us today to talk on this and related issues, we welcome to Crosstalk Will Estrada. He's senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Began working for HSLDA as a legal assistant in 2004. In 2006, graduated from the Oakbrook College of Law and Government Policy and directed HSLDA's Federal Relations Department. He then gained experience at the Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, 2018 to 2021, and then resigned to become the first full-time president of ParentalRights.org and the Parental Rights Foundation. June of 2023, he returned to HSLDA, serving as a senior counsel and contact attorney serving homeschool clients in many states. He's a member of the U.S. Supreme Court Bar, First Circuit Court of Appeals, and 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, California and District of Columbia. Will himself is a homeschool graduate. And Will, welcome back to Crosstalk.
Jim, it's an honor to be on. Thank you for having me.
So before we talk about this attack on homeschooling, I'd like first for our listeners to hear about its successes and its great expansion that's been taking over these past few years. Any idea how many are homeschooling across the nation? And let's learn about the impact that it's having on this nation.
Absolutely. So I always have to first introduce myself by saying I'm a homeschool graduate, as you said, told our listeners, and I'm also a homeschool dad. So my wife and I homeschool our two sons in Northern Virginia. So I've seen firsthand the success of homeschooling. My wife and I have seen firsthand with our children the success of homeschooling. But it's not just individual to myself and my family. It's something that works and has worked for millions of students and hundreds and thousands of families. So your question was how many homeschoolers there are today, and I always take a look back to pre-COVID and post-COVID.
Okay.
Right before 2020, the estimates from the U.S. Department of Education were that there were about 2.1 to maybe tops 3 million homeschooled students in the United States. Today, right now, there's anywhere between 6 and 8 million homeschool students.
Wow.
That is an incredible number, and some of the studies show that the number of homeschool students is the same as the number of students in private schools in our nation's schools. So it's been very exciting to see the growth in homeschooling and how it's been such a benefit to so many families around the country and also around the world.
Some believe that they are receiving just underrated education, but, Will, there are some wonderful, wonderful achievements that are happening through homeschool students.
There was a great study that was put out. It was done by my friend Lindsay Burke at Heritage Foundation, and this study was published in 2018. I encourage our listeners, if they're wondering how do homeschoolers do academically, it's called Bringing Achievement Home, a review of the academic outcomes of homeschooling students in the United States. And what Dr. Burke did is she reviewed every study regarding homeschooling. So ones that were from people who were favorable to homeschooling, ones that were from people who were unfavorable to homeschooling. And what she found was homeschooled students, on average, significantly outperform academically their peers in public schools, and in some cases, even outperform their peers in private schools. We hear of success stories of homeschoolers all the time. Simone Biles, of course, noted gymnast, is a homeschool graduate. Homeschoolers regularly win spelling bees and essay contests. In fact, yesterday I was looking at our Electrical Co-op magazine, and the winning essay about electricity was from a homeschooler here in Northern Virginia. And I was like, you know, it's not even a surprise anymore when homeschoolers do well on these, whether they're national or whether they're regional, essay contests or art contests or math or robotics. It's par for the course. And I think it's really shown, Jim, that homeschooling is mainstream now. It's not a fringe. It's not just a weird thing. It has come into its own as a respected and established and successful way for loving parents to educate their children.
You know, and I'm just amazed at the homeschool conferences I have been at or been in exhibit halls for such events, and the number of curricula providers, just amazing. I mean, I was shocked at how much material is out there and available for homeschoolers today.
You know, it's actually sometimes a little overwhelming. There's so much information there. My parents started homeschooling me in upstate New York in 1987, right when homeschooling was legalized, actually. Then in 1990, we moved to Pennsylvania, and I remember some of those first homeschool conferences. They were pretty small.
Right.
There was not a lot of resources for homeschoolers, but homeschoolers persevered, and today the homeschool publishing is a billion-dollar industry. There are a dizzying array of curricula providers and curricula choices, and what's really been exciting is there's really something for everyone. We see large numbers of parents who pull their children out of public schools because the schools have sadly failed their children with special needs, children who have either disabilities or gifted or special needs or delays. And there are a ton of resources for these children, whether it's different learning prompts or consultants that work with state organizations and local organizations or just on their own to serve these homeschoolers. And it's been a privilege, something that I do day in, day out, serving homeschoolers in 10 of our states. I have 10 states that I handle for homeschool legal defense, to assist these families in revoking the IEPs from the public school, withdrawing their children from public school, and then finding the right curriculum, the right services that they need privately through their home at significant cost savings, and then just to hear a year later from these parents that their children are thriving and doing so well.
And, you know, Will, we're going to talk about the attack that's happening, but just since we're on this note, there are those listening right now who are just on the brink of making the decision and wondering, what do we do for this upcoming school year? You have an information pack available through HSLDA that will help guide parents in this matter of homeschooling, do you not?
We do. So our listeners can just pull up our webpage. It's hslda.org. We have a ton of resources. You can even look at on our webpage, you know, what is my style that I have for my children? Because every child is different. Every child is unique. Every child is, I believe, created by God with a purpose. And the people who best know that are the child's parents. And so you know your child. You know their struggles. You know their weaknesses. You know their strengths. And I encourage people to go on our webpage to look at that. We're a membership organization as well. If people join HSLDA, we have discounts right now, and it's not expensive, but they get to talk to myself or my colleagues. They talk to our legal assistants and our staff who will just help them walk through, here's how you file your notice of intent, or here are the records you have to keep. There's really a 50-state patchwork of the laws regarding homeschooling. Some states are very stringent. Some states trust the parents. I know we'll be talking about that and some of the calls that some of the opponents of homeschooling have done. So we walk you through that. And then another really, really good benefit that I tell parents all the time is this is not 1990 anymore. This is not even 1999, or this is not even, you know, 2015. there are many people out there who are homeschooling. Mm-hmm. You can find a couple friends, people you trust who are homeschooling, and have them walk alongside of you. You will build friendships, your children will build friendships, and it's always easier to go through something new with a friend than on your own.
And the other aspect of membership is that if parents are legally challenged, you're there to come to their defense.
Well, we do that. We represent families. One of the privileges, you went through kind of a quick survey of my career, and I've loved every moment, every job I've ever done, but Jim, this is the best job ever. I get to talk to parents. I get to defend them from overbearing school officials, and those are the minority, but they are still out there. Mm-hmm. But then also, even if a family never has legal problems of their own, we are seeing a growing trend, and I know we'll be talking about this in a moment, of dangerous laws being introduced. And so we also do lobbying and advocacy work to make sure that we do not lose this hard-earned freedom of basically parental rights, of parents to choose the best education for their children.
Friends, again, the website is hslda.org. That stands for Homeschool Legal Defense Association, hslda.org. So, Will, there was, and, you know, when we see the successes and we see its growth and young people that are thriving and really pressing on here, it just, you know, should alarm all of us that there was an attack piece by the editors of Scientific America against homeschooling. And I'd like to have us address some of the issues that they raise in this. But the very first issue that they say is a very much a problem is they don't know how many children are being educated at home. And that has been growing. And that in itself is a problem to them.
You know, that is a very interesting argument that I've seen pretty recently of, oh, you know, we don't know how many people are being educated at home. We need to know that. And frankly, and with respect, that's not the government's job. Mm-hmm. There are nonprofit institutions. There are surveys that you know, entities do all the time to find out the number of people. We don't require all Boston Red Sox fans to register with the government so we know how many Boston Red Sox fans there are. There are ways that you can find that out. So if there are entities, and some of these entities that have criticized homeschooling, I remember Harvard and Elizabeth Bartholet, right during the COVID, she called for basically the end of homeschooling. If Harvard's curious how many homeschoolers there are, let them conduct a scientific study. Sometimes, you know, entities will pay people to participate, you know, go through the representative statistical sampling and give us the best estimate of the numbers of homeschoolers. The U.S. Department of Education already does that through the National Center for Education Statistics. They have a household pulse survey, and that's where the numbers that we do have of homeschooling are there. So policymakers have all the information they need. Research firms are out there if they want to conduct voluntary studies as a demographic tool, but really this is just them making an excuse of, we don't trust parents, we think families need to register with the government in order to exercise their constitutional, I would even say God-given right to choose the best education for their children.
Yeah.
And to their credit, we're starting to see some of these entities be more vocal in what their end goal is, which is regulation and control of homeschooling.
Indeed, indeed it is. And not just of homeschooling, but of the children and of the families themselves, having that ultimate control. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Will Estrada is our guest today. He's senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And we have just gotten into this area of the attack that is unfolding against homeschooling, including the push that there is even for parents to go through a background check. Well, we'll have more to discuss after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more information, you can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Homeschooling attacked. Our topic today here on Crosstalk, Willis Drott is with us, senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association. If you missed the website, hslda.org. So we're talking about this editorial that came out from the editors of Scientific American, came out May 14th, 2024, with their attack on homeschool. They complained that they're not able to track how many young people are engaged in homeschooling. They do point out, Willis, some of the successes, like the National Spelling Bee and most prolific mathematician in history and so forth. But they also talk about too many have suffered what they call horrific abuse, and that the federal government must develop basic standards for safety and quality of education in homeschooling across the country. So I want you to address this, but I thought, my oh my, it's not stories I'm seeing across my desk every week about homeschool parents abusing their children. It's coming through the education system.
Jim, that is so true, and it's a little bit of a lengthy answer, so bear with me, but this is something. Scientific American is not the first to say, well, you know, homeschooling is great for some kids, but if even one child is harmed, then we need to do more regulations, and then they'll find a story of an evil parent who was allegedly homeschooling their children, or at least saying they were homeschooling, and then harmed their child. And I always preface this by saying abuse is horrific. And a parent or caregiver who harms a child should be punished to the utmost extent of the law. In fact, I'll be very honest, I think some of our state laws are too lax on people who harm children, or that they are either the parents of or the caregivers of. So that's the first thing. We punish evildoers in this country. The second is, as a follower of Jesus Christ, and Homeschool Legal Defense serves everyone, you know, secular, atheist, we serve everyone, but I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I remember the words of Jesus, who said that if someone were to cause to stumble or harm one of these little ones, a child who believes in God, so any child, then it would be better for that person who harms a child that a millstone were to be cast around his neck and that person be thrown into the depths of the sea. Abuse is horrific. Abuse is evil. Harming a child is horrific and evil, and those people should be punished. They are evil people. But in our country, Jim, we don't punish everyone for the evil that one or two people do. And one of the things that's come out, I mean, in our country's history is when a class of people do something, when a person who belongs to a class of people does something, we don't punish everyone. I remember after the 9/11 horrific terror attacks, there were some who said, oh, you know, maybe we should put more surveillance on Muslims and mosques, and our country chose not to do that. We had learned from the mistakes that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had done in the wake of World War II, when patriotic Americans of Jewish descent were interned, and we've said never again, and we don't do that. And so it's very disconcerting for me. I've worked doing civil rights work in my career. It's very disconcerting to see, you know, ostensibly reputable institutions like Scientific American say, because of this horrific case, we've got to distrust and penalize everyone in this class, namely people who homeschool their children. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the instances that are sometimes used by opponents of homeschooling are so infrequent that they're really grasping at straws. It is very rare for people who choose to homeschool their children to abuse them. And you know, when it does happen, they should be harmed. But it's difficult to homeschool. You're giving up of yourself. And so most of the instances we've gone through them of horrific abuse and neglect are actually social services was aware of the children. That's an example of recently Michigan has said we need to have a registry of homeschool parents, and they went to a recent example of people who had pulled their kids out of public school. Some of those people were foster parents, and foster parents go through some of the most detailed background checks in our nation for people who want to care for a child. And social workers were aware of what had gone on. They turned a blind eye to it. I think one of the issues was they were desperate for people to be foster parents. And it's really a failure of a government institution, and they're trying to blame the homeschoolers for it. That's deeply offensive to me, and it's something that I think is just really not being covered. And Jim Mason, our president of HSLDA, wrote a fantastic response. It was published just last week in National Review, titled, "Why is Scientific American Going After Homeschooling?" And he goes through this, that these are instances, very rare, but where in almost all instances, the existing safeguards, the government dropped the ball. And you don't blame homeschooling for that. You blame our system. There's a lot to blame in our child protective system. I've spent years trying to reform it, but you don't go after homeschoolers. It's going to actually harm children who are at risk of abuse or neglect. And then finally, I think you did correctly mention that these instances that, for example, Scientific American cherry-picked, they are neglecting right in front of them, again, another failure of government, and that is the horrific abuse that has often gone unreported in some of our nation's public schools. I do have to give credit, though, to the Illinois and Chicago news medias. They've done a very good job documenting some of the horrific sexual and physical abuse of children in Chicago public schools. And I encourage people who are worried about this to just Google Chicago public school abuse. It is not for the faint of heart, Jim, because some of the things that have gone on have been terrible. There were lawsuits that were recently filed. Chicago Public Schools actually settled with some of the plaintiffs in that case because this was known, this was documented, and no one did anything about it. So if we truly want to protect children, you lock up and throw away the key, the people who harm children. That's the first one. You streamline our child protective system and services in the states to get rid of it being so easy for people to use CPS to weaponize the system to go after a neighbor or an ex-spouse who you don't like. So let CPS focus on people who are truly abusing their children or harming their children, kids who are truly at risk. Streamline it so you don't have this fall through the cracks. And then let's look at where it really is happening with vast numbers of children. And unfortunately, that's in some, not all, but some of our nation's public schools.
Yeah, indeed. Will Estrada with us today from Homeschool Legal Defense Association. The article from Scientific American also takes a swipe at curriculum used by homeschoolers. And they say some Christian homeschooling curricula teach young earth creationism instead of evolution. Other curricula describe slavery as black immigration or extol the virtues of Nazism.
This is a red herring, Jim, and let me just talk for a moment about my homeschool program when I was growing up. My parents were very aware of some of the tragedies and some of the evil in our nation's own history. And so we studied the Tulsa race massacres. One of the books that my parents gave me when I was 12 years old to read is called Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry. It's a story about a young black girl, she wrote it later, growing up in 1930s Mississippi, and I just started reading that to our kids. And so it's just insulting when you see this, because that is not what homeschool parents are teaching. The first time I ever heard about Juneteenth was actually when I was at a homeschool conference in Texas. And, I'm a Yankee, grew up in New York and Pennsylvania, so, in early 2004, I regret I'd never heard of Juneteenth, but I was in Texas, and the homeschool parents there said, oh, yeah, it's a big thing in Texas. We celebrate it with the Texas Homeschool Association and homeschoolers in Texas, and then, it took until 2020 before the rest of America learned about it, but it was homeschoolers who were really talking about that in Texas. There is one story, I think, that was correct. There was a very small homeschool support group in Ohio that had some Nazis, sadly, and the authorities got involved there. It is exceptionally rare, and Jim addresses that as well in his response in National Review. That is not what homeschooling is. Mm-hmm. One of the exciting things has been to see the growth of homeschooling in minority families, in black families, and Hispanic families, because often they have even less resources in the public schools, where there's just no incentive for the public schools to reform. And they're often in states where there aren't a lot of other educational options. And so I have seen firsthand the growth of black homeschooling I was privileged to speak recently at the Maryland Association of Christian Home Educators, MACHE it's called, at their homeschool conference in Greenbelt, and then at their homeschool graduation. I was the commencement speaker this past May. There were 35 black 18 and 19-year-olds who had gone through homeschooling, who were graduating. Almost every single one of them had been accepted to two-year and four-year colleges, and that's where they were going to. And these are parents, most of these kids had not started in homeschooling, but their parents had seen homeschooling, black families, minority families, and they had said, this is what we want for our kids. They were welcomed in. They're leading the homeschool movement in many of these states because they've seen firsthand how good it's been for their children.
You know, there are many egregious things in this editorial that came from Scientific American, but I'd like you to address this issue as well. And they lament that not one state checks with Child Protective Services to determine whether the parents of the children being homeschooled have a history of abuse and neglect. And so they suggest that we ought to be requiring homeschool parents to pass an initial background check, just like we do for K through 12 teachers, and submit documents then to their local school district to show that their children are learning. What about this issue of background checks?
So, Jim, that kind of goes to what we had talked about of do you punish people for some of the evils that maybe a few have done. And I always say there are evil publishers. What's that old line? The pen is mightier than the sword. But in our country, we don't require op-ed publishers or newspapers to get prior consent with the government before you exercise your First Amendment right to print or publish something. And in the same way, the U.S. Supreme Court has said for 100 years that parental rights are a fundamental right. That is the highest level of right. You do not check with the government before you exercise a fundamental right. There is a great line, and Jim included that in his response to the Scientific American op-ed that he published in National Review. This is a line from 1979. It's the case, the U.S. Supreme Court case of Parham versus J.R. And in 1979, the U.S. Supreme Court said, and I quote, "The statist notion that governmental power should supersede parental authority in all cases because some parents abuse and neglect children is repugnant to American tradition," end quote. Jim, that was 1979 Supreme Court. That was, you know, the Supreme Court that gave us Roe v. Wade. It was not a conservative Supreme Court. But our justices in 1979, and these cases have continued, a line of cases that parental rights are fundamental, that you don't surrender your parental rights to the government even because a few people do bad things. The court said in 79 that this is why you don't give it up. You punish those who do wrong, but you don't make every parent who wants to homeschool their children have to get permission from the government. You know, Scotland did that a couple years ago in compliance with the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Scotland had ratified. The government of Scotland passed a law called the Named Persons Act, and it said from the moment of birth, every child will be on a registry and will get a government worker, a caseworker, who will from time to time check on them. That's what statism is, and that's what some of these op-eds are calling for. And I'm happy to say that Scottish law, the Named Persons Act, was so egregious that even the United Kingdom's highest court struck that down. In a land of freedom, you don't surrender your rights to the government and get prior approval to exercise a God-given fundamental right.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Will Estrada is with us today, senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association. Their website, hslda.org. And again, you'll find an information of a packet, really, that's available online. You can learn about homeschool laws in your own state. But we're going to raise just a couple more issues here, and then we'll be opening phone lines to take your calls from across the country. And we just want to encourage you to keep listening in. More information to share. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Friends, homeschooling, though it's successful all across this nation, is coming under attack. And the editors of Scientific America, are chomping at the bit to take their attacks against homeschooling through a recent editorial. And we're talking today with Will Estrada, senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and they have certainly responded to this. Matter of fact, I believe the response you can find right through your website, correct? James Mason's article?
Correct.
And HSLDA.org. I'd like to hit another aspect of their lament against homeschooling, their attack, and that is, well, parents just are not smart enough. I mean, they say, well, in 40 states, parents don't even have to have a high school level education to educate their children at home. How do you respond to that?
You know, it's sort of like, where do I begin? The first one is there's this cult of the, this elitist cult of the expert. And if you just kind of look at what experts, quote unquote experts, have said over the past 20 years, they certainly have not done a good job. Then the second response is the, you can kind of track all of this requirement in public schools for greater certification and testing of teachers, and that really came in 1994 in H.R. 6, which is one of the big Elementary and Secondary Education Act, you know, federal pieces of legislation. Scores have not gone up in our public schools with this corresponding push for educators to be certified and licensed and trained and all this sort of thing. My dad spent 37 years as a public school special education teacher in both Pennsylvania and New York. And as any good teacher will tell you, obviously there is training that you need, but you either have it or you don't. And there's a lot of teachers, sadly, who have all the credentials in our public schools, but who are not being able to pass on this education to children. And so whenever I see this call of, oh, you know, in order to homeschool your children, you need to have credentials and certifications, it just is not accurate. A parent knows their child. They know them better than anyone else. They know their learning styles, and they're going to give them a good education. Now, almost all of these states do say if you're going to homeschool, you're going to have to teach a certain, you know, make sure that your kids are receiving an education. We have laws in all 50 states of education neglect. And really the beauty is even if a parent may not have a teaching credential, or maybe they don't have a college degree, there are so many resources, as we discussed at the beginning of the of the hour, for homeschoolers today. There's curriculum, there's providers, there's online, there's co-ops, there's tutors, there are people to help you as a parent have your children excel in your homeschool program. This is not 1990 anymore. This is 2024. There are resources out there, and homeschool parents are using these resources, which is why homeschool curriculum providers has become a multi-billion dollar industry.
And sadly, we have this attitude, we know better than parents. I just found this clip I had played some time ago here on Crosstalk, but this is an Arizona teacher. Let's listen.
I have a master's degree because when I got certified, I was told I had to have a master's degree to be an Arizona certified teacher. We all have advanced degrees. What do the parents have? Are we vetting the backgrounds of our parents? Are we allowing the parents to choose the curriculum and the books that our children are going to read? I think that it's a mistake. I'm just speaking from the heart. The one line that I love is, we must remember that the purpose of public education is not to teach only what parents want their children to be taught. It is to teach them what society needs them to be taught.
That is quite a statement, Will.
And unfortunately, Jim, that is the mindset of not all, but many public educators today. And I think maybe some of our listeners recently heard Becky Pringle. She's the president of the National Education Association.
I want to play a clip from her. And tell you what, let me play the clip.
Yeah,
and this, she's making a keynote address before the NEA, the 2024 NEA Representative Assembly. This is the president, Becky Pringle. And friends, I want you to hear how she ends her charge to the educators of your children. Well, I should say of the public education, the government education here across the country. Here's what she had to say in her closing message.
NEA delegates, we can do this work. We must do this work. We get to do this work. We will do this work because our students are depending on us to win all the things. NEA, we have to win all the things. All the things. Depending on us to win all the things. Keep going, NEA. To preserve our democracy, we must win all the things. Delegates, we won't go back. We will keep going forward because we are the NEA. We are the NEA. We are the NEA. And that's what we do.
That's amazing. And we're talking about winning all the things. I mean, that means the LGBTQ agenda, DEI, the Planned Parenthood agenda. That's all the things that they stand for.
You know, I'm just kind of thunderstruck by that talk. But you know what? It's not new. Jim, in 2021, she told the New York Times that she was motivated to, quote, reclaim public education as a common good and transform it into something it was never designed to be, racially and socially just and equitable, end quote. And when you played that clip, there's nothing there about educating children. There's nothing there about what William Butler Yeats, the Irish poet, said, that education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire. It's all about raw politics, you know, what society wants it to be. And don't get me wrong, being just, being, you know, we serve, as a Christian, we serve a God of equity. None of this by itself is wrong, but they've forgotten what the purpose of education is, to give a love of learning to children, to educate them, to prepare them to be critical thinkers, to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's all about, almost it seems sometimes when you play that quote by Becky Pringle, it's to have political automatons who will listen to the government. Mm-hmm. And that's not the purpose of education. And the people who have chosen to pull their children out of public schools and homeschool them are realizing that they're doing it because they want their children to be whole people who can think for themselves, who can be quiet, who can learn, who can speak up when they need to, who can serve their country, who can speak out against their country when they need to, people who love, who remember what the Bible says in Micah, to do justice, who love mercy, and who walk humbly
Amen.
With their God.
Amen.
That's the purpose of education.
Friends, we're opening our phone lines here to Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. Perhaps your reaction to these this attack on homeschooling. Maybe you're wondering about homeschooling. You have questions pertaining to it. Maybe there's something, you've got some hang-ups about homeschooling and just want to have that addressed. Our number here to Crosstalk, 1-800-733-9829. We're talking with Will Estrada. He is senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And not only is he senior counsel, he's also a contact attorney. He serves homeschool clients in some 10 states, member of the Supreme Court Bar, other courts as well, and addressing these attacks coming against homeschooling. A reminder of their website, it is hslda.org. And if you want to explore more on what homeschooling is, the process, what are the laws in your state, and related issues, you go to the website hslda.org, and all that's accessible and lots of information, Will, pertaining to homeschooling itself.
Well, that is absolutely the case, and we are here to serve the homeschool community, Jim.
Friends, we're taking your calls, and I see the lines are all packed. We're getting the first one processed here right now here at crosstalkhslda.org. And again, if you'd like to read the response that has come out from the head of HSLDA, and that would be James Mason, you can check it out through the website there as well and get the information. Let's begin with Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I heard that little thing about the public school teachers or the government saying if only one child is molested or violated by a homeschool teacher, and then they go on to say, oh, we need background checks and such. What a laugh. How about background checks for these criminal aliens that the same lawless federal government is inviting to come here with no vetting? How about all the girls that have been raped and killed already? Yeah. I don't hear anybody saying anything about if only one child or if these children that have already been killed. Yeah. Public school teachers have already failed. Considering the money squandered on public schools in the U.S., we rank last in the world. And even if you don't consider the money squandered on it, we're still last in the industrialized world. This is an open and shut case. The other side really has nothing to say because their record of failure speaks for itself.
Brad, thanks for the call. But you had a lot to say there, Will, and I know immigration's another topic there, but really we've got double standards in our country.
Well, I know about the homeschool side, and as our caller was saying, you look at this and you're like, if you really care about children, there's some other issues of where we could do great good if we change some of our policies. And so it really, unfortunately, as our caller said, unmasks what this intent is. The media, not all the media, some of the media right now hates homeschooling. They hate that people are breaking free from the shackles of some of the failed public schools, some, not all. There are great public school teachers, and there are still great public schools. But they're upset that there are other options. And that's freedom. That's America. And we have been able to fight for this freedom. It's very interesting, Jim, because even back as recently as 1996, parents were still facing jail time and being thrown in jail for homeschooling their children. Today, homeschooling is not just legal, it's mainstream. And I'm excited because so many parents have now tasted this freedom. They've seen how good it is for their children. The kids have seen how good it is. And there's no going back. There's no putting the genie back in the bottle. So Scientific American and ProPublica can write these stories about we need to end homeschooling. We need to restrict it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because there are so many millions of parents out there and students, graduates, who've seen the success, and they will not stand for that.
Let's go to Greg in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi. I definitely agree that, unfortunately, our public schools have gone to Hades in a handbasket. And I think that there are some legitimate concerns about whether children that are being taught at home are being given the tools that they need in today's modern world. But I think that Nevada, and I don't know currently, but 10 years ago, I lived in Nevada, and I had friends there that were homeschooling their children. And as you guys mentioned, the state and the local school district provided all kinds of resources for them to be able to make sure that they were getting a well-rounded education in subjects that the parents might not be specialists in. And the children also had to be able to pass the standard tests that the public school children were given. And I have to say that they did this for the kids when they were in elementary and middle school. And when they got high school age, two of the children wanted to go to public school to play sports.
Okay, and I tell you what, we're up against a break, and we've used all your time here on the call, so we're going to have Will respond to these issues right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan Howes. Our website is worldviewtube.com. Well, election season is right around the corner, and it's a presidential election. So you know what that means, right? There must be a plandemic in the making. Well, In 2019, there was what was called Event 201. That was in October of 2019, planning for a coronavirus outbreak. And then it happened. Guess what? October 2nd through the 3rd in Washington, D.C., well, they're holding the International Bird Flu Summit. And among their topics, number one, session and breakout session number one, mass fatality management planning. Really? I did not know this until today. There was a 2006 movie about this that killed millions and millions and millions. And one of the governors dealing with it was a governor named Newsom. You can't make this up. Is this psychological projection? I'm Brandon House.
Homeschooling being attacked, our topic today, Will Estrada, our guest, hslda.org. Will, okay, what about this issue? He's talking about kind of like standardized tests. Homeschoolers should have to meet those. Talked about, some of the lacking, some of the educational qualities, et cetera.
You know, it's first off, the Bringing Achievement Home, the study done by Dr. Lindsay Burke in 2018 shows how homeschoolers do on these standardized tests. But then a funny story is there were a couple states in the late 1980s, early 1990s that required homeschoolers to take the public school tests. And the homeschoolers did so well on it that the state departments of education asked the legislature and succeeded in it with saying, don't do this anymore, it's embarrassing us. And this was in the 80s and 90s when the public schools were still by and large doing a very good job with the education of children. So homeschoolers are doing great academically, which just makes some of the arguments in the Scientific American even more of a head scratch.
Kyle is next. Hi, Kyle. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about back in the day, there was a union leader at the NEA said, when the kids start paying union dues, we'll represent them. And I always thought that was interesting, but I wanted to talk about real quickly, we're homeschool, we're part of the HSLDA grid organization, but they always, my family always says that, our kids are religious zealots, but if you ever go against anything that the secular humanists that the public schools are teaching, they're not religious zealots.
Right.
If you question evolution.
Yeah.
Good. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Kyle. It's such a great point there, Will, in that he made on that aspect, because there is a religiosity about the teaching that happens in the other setting.
Well, it's the truth. First off, Kyle, thank you for being a member of HSLDA. It's always great to serve you and your family. But Kyle's absolutely right. And Jim, there have been a couple lawsuits that have been filed recently, some of which are still pending in the courts, where plaintiffs have made this exact argument that if we're really going to have neutrality, then why is some of the secularism almost like a religion? So I think stay tuned. We're going to see how these things wend through in the courts.
Kathy is calling from Jerome, Idaho. You're on the air, Kathy.
Yes, thank you. I am a grandma now, but my son was homeschooled. He's now 37. But some 30 years ago, we were having issues in our area with curfews being put on children, couldn't be out at a certain time of day and whatnot. And HSLDA was so instrumental at the time in helping us work through some of those issues. And we were actually successful in defeating some of those ordinances and whatnot that were they were trying to be issued in the area. So also I wanted to say Idaho is and always has been a great state to homeschool in, and I've been very pleased with that. So
great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Any response, Will?
Kathy, it is great to have you. I'm so glad we were able to serve you and your family. There's an organization called Homeschool Idaho. I know many of the people on the leadership there, and Kathy is absolutely correct. Idaho is a great state to homeschool in. Been privileged to speak there. Some of these curfews, and we still occasionally will have to fight them, particularly the daytime curfews, when it's like kids only can be in public school or private school or at home. And we have had to come and fight these and rally freedom-loving people, because it's like, no, this is specifically hurting homeschoolers if they're going on a field trip or if they're going to the library. And I think at this point, Jim, there are very few daytime curfews left in the United States, if there are any at all.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Carrie is next. Racine, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Will. I just have a personal testimonial from my own experience directed to those in the audience that might still have reservations. I was in your camp. Then I ran a small youth center with my wife up in a rural northwestern Wisconsin town and had a lot of contact with youth in the community.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed was that private schoolers stood head and shoulders above public schoolers. Homeschoolers stood head and shoulders above private schoolers.
You cut out there.
Currently, the public school youths stood head and shoulders above the private school youths mm-hmm. stood head and shoulders above the public school youths in academics, maturity, thinking, all areas. The homeschool youths stood head and shoulders above the private school youths.
Mm.
I now participate in chaperoning a youth leadership camp every summer, and that trend holds.
Well, thank you, Kerry. I'm going to squeeze one more call in, then get comment from our guest. This is Randy calling. Randy, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'm a grandpa too, but I homeschooled my two daughters,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't homeschool every year that they were in schooling of age. We did public school, we did private school, and we did homeschool. We selected what was we felt as parents best for our daughters at the what they were going through. NRA to be attacking parents,
NEA, Thank you so much for that. We know that the attacks are out there. They're going to continue. HSLDA, though, is there. You exist to further the work of homeschooling and defend parents who are making this choice.
Jim, it was so encouraging to hear these stories. Some of the callers who have actually homeschooled their kids and people like Kerry who used to oppose homeschooling and then saw the success. And that is why homeschool freedom is here today. I recently wrote a law review article. It's going to be coming out at Liberty University School of Law's journal. And I went through the history and really looked at just 20, 30 years ago, homeschooling was illegal. Today, it's not just legal, but it's mainstream, and that is because of people like these callers we just heard who put in the time, the tears, the sweat, and their children are today making examples like what Kerry said of where he used to oppose homeschooling and then saw the success. I was recently down on Capitol Hill doing some work for homeschool legal defense, and it's eye-opening to me how many of the young men and women who are staffing congressional offices are homeschool graduates. Actually, how many members of Congress are homeschooling their children as well?
Wow.
And it's not just Republican. I was in a Democrat office, and a young woman told me, I'm a homeschool graduate myself. It's bipartisan, it's growing, and it's here to stay.
Wow. Our guest, Will Estrada, senior counsel with Homeschool Legal Defense Association, and friends, again, the attacks are there. HSLDA is there to promote and to defend homeschooling and parental rights. HSLDA.org is a website, HSLDA.org. And Will, thanks for carving out the time to join us and our listeners here today.
Jim, anytime. It's a privilege, and thank you for what you're doing.
Will Estrada with us, and friends, homeschooling coming under attack, and it's meeting with great success across this country in educating children because parents really have the best interest of their children at heart. And we thank the Lord for that freedom that we have here across this land. Well, God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.